From the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., this is Update One, the club's official podcast. It features newsworthy stories originating from the NPC facilities, as well as broader topics related to journalism, communications, press freedom, and transparency. The National Press Club's 25th annual photo exhibit was on display in September. It featured more than 200 digital and print photos, and we'll talk to one of the NPC members whose work was on display. I'm Mike Hempen, a co-chair of the broadcast podcast team. Four of the featured photos belong to Susan Dickinson, an NPC member from North Carolina, and she's the guest on this edition of Update One. Susan, let's begin by talking about how your photos became part of this year's exhibit at the club. The photos are part of a grassroots investigative reporting project in Jamestown, North Carolina, called the Jamestowner. It seeks to provide accountability for local government officials who allegedly have colluded with developers and other businesses to destroy the quality of life there. If you can talk about that.
I started taking photos and, you know, putting them together with what's going on at D.R. Horton and just around this area, some of the environmental violations that are happening, a picture's worth a thousand words. So I thought, you know, love the press club, haven't really ever done this before. The timing was right. So I picked four photos that I thought kind of put into a very short story what's happening here.
Your photo exhibit display said the Jamestowner is an all-volunteer citizens news and information site. The Jamestowner website says local and state authorities are working to shield residents from critical information about water quality, environmental violations, and election gerrymandering. So was it the actions of state and local officials that motivated you to become part of this year's photo exhibit?
Oh, gosh, yes. We live in an area that's a critical watershed, protected and critical watershed, because 6 miles south of here is our drinking water lake. And the main feeder of the town that goes, the river that runs through town is called Deep River. It's one fork of what forms the Cape Fear. You're probably familiar with the Cape Fear for having all the DuPont and Chemours contamination. So, you know, we're pretty significant ancient old Jurassic era river here. And then there's all these tributaries that run into it, including the one in my backyard. But there were no protections. It's like mysteriously, according to the records, all of the testing of the water and the monitoring and making sure the banks were clean and that people were not, you know, pouring grease in the water or dumping their car wash suds down the streams. Nothing was going on, you know, to protect these rivers, and nothing was being talked about. There's no, we have no river keeper, nothing. And so I kind of started writing a few folks, you know, I said, why don't you monitor these streams that run through our town? I mean, we're going to drink this stuff and they're green, they're blue, they're smelly, they look horrible. And nobody responded. And it just went on from there. We looked a little further and found out that the wastewater plant that sits on the edge of town, just a few miles up from our drinking water supply, is one of the worst in the state, continually in noncompliance, violations for all kinds of emissions. It's falling apart. It can't handle all this new development that's coming out of Guilford County. So we write a few more letters. Well, what are you going to do about this? There's this thing called 1,4-dioxane, and that it's this horrible forever chemical that, you know, you can't get it out with typical carbon filters in your fridge or anything. It's once they're here to stay. They build up in your system over time. And we learned that through more research, North Carolina is the third worst in the country for 1,4-dioxane, and Guilford County is the worst county in North Carolina. All right, why has no one told us about this? And a little more research finds there was a spike of this incredible amount of 1,4-dioxane found in Deep River between the wastewater plant and our drinking water supply a couple years ago. And that's not the first time, but no one ever tells us about. There's no public alert system. There's more of a bigger system in place to keep it quiet. And the problem is, it's not just our drinking water. Because of our location, these streams run through our yards. Well, suddenly we learned that the SELC, the Southern Environmental Law Center, had filed this beautiful 65-page petition with the Environmental Protection Agency outlining the very problems and issues we've been having. And it's not just us, it's statewide. And they have asked the Environmental Protection Agency to step in and take control of this, because North Carolina just absolutely has dropped the ball, and it's pretty intentional. It's actually our state legislators who are doing this in favor of big business.
You had four photos on display. One had the word displacement showing a herd of bucks that visit your home on a daily basis. Another picture showed farmland that you said has air that is yellow because of dust. That photo was summarized by the word destruction. A third photo had the word deception describing it, and a fourth photo showed a flooded area that had the word denial.
The deer, of course, displaced because of what's happening on social media. A lot of folks are snapping photos and of deer popping up in places they've never seen them before. So the natural habitat has just kind of been tilted. You know, it's been disrupted, and it's sad to see, because it is something that makes this area very unique and special. I forget the name. We have an albino turkey gene in our wild turkeys that run behind me. So about every third year, this snow white turkey shows up being protected by all the brown turkeys. I mean, some people go through life and never see a wild turkey like this. We have that kind of, you know, phenomena here. And again, of course, the deer, the raccoons, an amazing selection of birds, and you know, the mycology, the mushroom assortment is incredible because of all the streams and the moss and everything. That's the displacement. The destruction, it is heart-wrenching to drive by this 460-acre farm and see mud and trucks and sometimes yellow clouds of dust up in the air. I mean, it's just brown. It's not a blade of grass. There was this talk in the meetings leading up to the development agreement being signed, you know, oh, we're going to put buffers here and trees here and save some mature trees there. No, they haven't done a thing. They've just raised it. Like, that's the biggest example. Now there's another development on the other end of town, about 100, I think it's, let's see, 30 acres and about 100 homes. And it's the same thing. There's just no one here stopping these guys or asking them to take any kind of precautions or just kind of respect what's here right now. I could go into so much more detail, but I wouldn't be able to finish. Everybody needs to read the website. The deception, yes. As we've gotten our word out and the information we have found, we have been, and I say we, the members of the Jamestowner and Jamestown United, bullied and called malcontents and the town haters, and we're distributing misinformation. One of these was the dioxin spike. Oh, we really got it, you know, for that. Oh, no, that's not going on. We have nothing to do with that. Well, we didn't say you did. You know, you're just a bunch of haters. Finally, the Secretary of the Environment for North Carolina put out a press release this summer about, yes, we, you know, North Carolina's got a bad 1,4 dioxin problem, and it's really bad. So two members of our group took the press release to a Music in the Park event here in town and were met at the edge of the park by the town manager, who said, you better get out of here, take your bottled water with you, or he was going to call the sheriff and have them removed. These were two moms with their young children pulling a wagon with a little cooler of bottled water and a few copies of this press release. Anytime we've had some kind of a major reveal, you know, or we just recently found out Randleman Lake has been our source of water since 2010. I and most of us thought it had only been our water supply source for a couple of years. But the town manager told me recently, oh, that's misinformation. We also get water from High Point in Greensboro. Well, according to the report that is on file in the state archives and public records, that water comes from Randleman Lake, but through Greensboro and High Point pipes. You know, it's things like this. We don't put anything out here on the site. I don't, as a rule, unless I can link to the actual document and the source from where it's coming. This is mostly information. It's not to sway opinions or anything. And then the denial, I just feel like everybody just thinks somebody else is going to take care of it. You know, it's the government will deal with it. Our state government or our mayor or the council, they're looking out for us. And there's been just sort of this very, you know, disinterested and kind of thing going on here. But that's changed, I think, over about the past 8 months. And a lot of people are joining our Facebook group, and you know, traffic's really picked up on the website. I was picking up a water test sample for a house of a woman I'd never met before. And she said, you know, I don't really say it publicly, but I just want you to know, I really, really think what you're doing is great. We're just so glad you're there. Keep it up. I hear that all the time. There's this fear that if you say something, you know, you're going to get in trouble or be bullied or called names or something, I guess, but actually doesn't bother me a bit.
Are you optimistic the living conditions in Jamestown will eventually improve?
I wish I could say yes. I wish. I want to say yes, but I'm scared. I don't know. And just lately, my husband and I go back and forth a lot. We found the house of our dreams when we moved here. But now it is, the more I learn and purposely don't share, because I think it really would scare a lot of people here. But the more I had learned and see and understand our groundwater and what that means when you're in an area like this, where there's all kinds of ancient underground tunnels from the mines, and then these aquifers, and how the rock folds, and why when there's a contaminated site, there's a circle of a half a mile around it, because our groundwater just travels so far. It scares me. And then I learned about this thing, vapor intrusion, and how TCE, the toxin they have down there at Camp Lejeune, the reason people are concerned is because it evaporates up from the groundwater underneath buildings and, you know, homes, and can go into a building or a house or a home. It's not just the water, and it's not, you don't have to see it and touch it and feel it to be in its presence. There's even a little building on Main Street right now that's contaminated and shut down because there's vapor intrusion. They claim it's from the toxins are from a dry cleaner, but there's also, you know, a chemical plant across the street and a big paper packaging plant across the street and a plastics manufacturer. None of those guys get touched or blamed or discussed. Just the little dry cleaner that closed, who knows, like 10 years ago or something.
We should point out, you are the editor of the Jamestowner. How long have you been in that position?
We found it necessary to do back in January 2023, when I teamed up with this group of folks who've become truly some of the smartest and most incredible people I've ever met in my life. Fun people that live in Jamestown, my neighbors. One's a science writer, another is a vice president at a huge furniture company, another's a crackerjack statistician. But we're talking at all hours of the night. And then with this other group, we have the gadflies. It's like a couple dozen more people that we talk with and are sort of the, you know, army out there. And as we would share information, we were typing things over and over again. And so I said, we've got to figure out how to just send links to each other. So we type and share this information, and it's easier to send. And when we write these letters to DEQ or to, you know, Congressman Garrett, we can just send these links. And I've built a website before. So I built this one WordPress website. It could probably be a lot nicer, but it gets the job done. And it grew from just being an information gathering site and an organization of our information and way to share big documents to this sort of little news machine. And I've talked to a few other folks. We've applied for some grant money as a local grassroots news site because people like this and are, you know, coming here for information. And we try to keep it nonpartisan, but water is the first focus in our public health. But yeah, it's sort of become an obsession now, but I am the editor and the creator, and I guess you can hold me responsible and if you don't like what's out there.
The guest has been Susan Dickinson, who had 4 photos featured in this year's National Press Club photo exhibit. Susan, thanks for being on Update One.
Thank you so much for allowing me to run my mouth this long. I appreciate it, Mike.
I'm Mike Hempen. Thanks for listening. You have been listening to Update One, the official podcast of the National Press Club, the world's leading professional organization for journalists and a vigorous advocate of press freedom worldwide. If you have any questions or comments about Update One, send an email to updateonepodcast@gmail.com.